In November, nearly 200 nations gathered in Glasgow, Scotland for the COP26 climate summit. The outcome was disappointing for experts who wanted stronger commitments to ensure capping global warming. The conference also failed to ease vulnerable countries' concern about long-promised climate financing from rich nations. One of the countries lacking international support is Iraq. As NewsHour Weekend special correspondent Simona Foltin reports, the country is already facing the alarming effects of climate change. This story is part of our ongoing series, Peril and Promise, the Challenge of Climate Change.
Sunrise in Iraq's Mesopotamian marshes. These historic wetlands are nestled in southern Iraq, where human civilization emerged 7,000 years ago. But water scarcity is threatening this habitat and the humans who rely on it.
There's no water. And if there's no water, there's no more fish. There's only bare land left. The water is dried.
In this area, average annual rainfall for the last 20 years was 10% lower than in the three decades prior. Declining water levels mean the water that is left is increasingly salty, making it largely unfit for humans, animals, and vegetation alike. Only small fish survive here now, but they fetch a lower price for the fishermen. Their catch earned them $15 each, the result of 2 days of hard work.
Of course, this is not enough. I have a family that depends on me, but this is our life now.
I have four children at home. Two are married and two aren't.
I ask Jassim Ali if he's thinking about leaving fishing to find work elsewhere. And do what? He asks in return. It's a question that weighs on many people's minds here, explains Jassim Al-Assadi, a water engineer who has dedicated his life to protecting the marshes.
Chibaish and another thousands depend on the water economic activities. Buffalo breeders harvesting the reeds, the grasses. If there is no water, everything is dead. The economic life is dead completely here.
Drought has further compounded another long-standing water problem here. The marshes are fed by the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers, both of which originate in Turkey, as well as other tributaries from Iran. Both countries have built dams upstream, which has gradually reduced water flow. The dams have long been a source of regional tensions, but climate change has further raised the stakes.
If there is a rain, this is a good basin to save this water a few months, but there is no rain here, no rain in the basin of Iraq.
The marshes only span 2,000 square miles today, a 75% reduction compared to their original size.
This is what the marshlands increasingly look like, cracked soil and bone-dry reeds. And even though we're now in November, which is supposed to be the onset of the rainy season, water levels continue to decline. Life here is simply no longer sustainable.
More than half of the households here have lost cattle this year due to lack of water, according to a survey carried out by the Norwegian Refugee Council. Zuhriya Sakar and her family used to keep 20 water buffaloes, but that number has dropped to 4 over the past few years. Their animals refuse to drink the polluted water, which means herders like Zuhriya are forced to buy drinking water to keep them alive.
Taking care of the buffaloes is really making us tired. They are not coming back to us. We go looking for them, but even the boat cannot float after them anymore because there's no water. Then we find them dead, stuck in the mud.
Temperatures in Iraq have risen by more than 2.5 degrees Celsius since the end of the 19th century. That's 4.5 degrees Fahrenheit, double the global average. Projections are equally alarming, says the World Bank Special Representative for Iraq, Ramzi Naman.
We expected that an increase in temperature of almost 1.5 degrees within the coming years, and that would have tremendous effect.
But while Iraq is reeling from the impact of climate change, it is also a significant contributor to the greenhouse emissions that cause global warming. Iraq is the world's sixth largest oil producer, but is second only to Russia in gas flaring, a wasteful process of burning natural gas during oil extraction. Flaring emits CO2 and methane into the atmosphere and accounts for 15% of Iraq's total greenhouse emissions. The government has vowed to eliminate flaring by 2027.
The world.
At a recent roundtable with journalists, Iraq's oil minister said the country has allocated over $5 billion for gas capture projects.
We will secure the finance to make the gas capturing for all Iraq. We will secure the finance to improve the refinery. We will secure the finance to change the liquid fuel in all power generation to be gas fuel.
And all of this without any international support?
All of this without need to international support. If we are requested to do more, we are happy to receive. And we know no one will give that.
Indeed, at the recent COP26 summit, developed nations failed to meet financing targets for climate mitigation and adaptation programs. But Iraq's promises to end gas flaring have also not translated into commensurate commitments to reduce its carbon emissions. Iraq only pledged to reduce its emissions by 2% through national efforts, even though climate experts estimate that global emissions need to be cut by half by the end of this decade to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius.
These commitments are a bit shy. Iraq is a middle-income country, and I think that they have resources that are generated that could be enough in really guiding the process forward.
For Iraq's farmers, time is running out. Record low rainfalls over the past 2 years have resulted in widespread crop losses across Iraq, according to aid agencies. Mohsen Al-Rudaini is one of many farmers forced to abandon their fields due to the drought.
During the 70s and 80s, this land was irrigated by the river flooding the land. Then gradually, we had to start using pumps. Last year, the water levels really dropped, and this year, there's no water at all.
Outdated irrigation methods compound the water scarcity. Farmers today rely on the same inefficient surface irrigation techniques used by ancient Sumerians 4,000 years ago. Experts say Iraq urgently needs investments to modernize irrigation, but corruption and mismanagement are deeply entrenched in Iraq's bureaucracy, wasting oil money that could be used for climate adaptation programs. Entire farming communities have disappeared, sending ripple effects through Iraq's food supply chain.
This used to be the breadbasket of Baghdad. We used to collect the crops in the morning, and they'd reach Baghdad after an hour or two.
But now, much of the produce sold here is imported from neighboring countries. Meanwhile, Al-Rudaini and his son have had little choice but to swap their fields for jobs at a nearby brick factory where the air is thick with pollutants.
Normally, no man would accept this kind of work because it makes you sick and it is tiring. It's too hot. You see the smoke? It means disease. What to do? What is the alternative? There's nothing but this work.
Crop failures are further accelerating rural to urban migration, but already Iraq's cities are suffering from widespread unemployment and inadequate infrastructure. Iraq's population hit 40 million in 2020 and is expected to reach 50 million by 2030, with most of the growth concentrated in urban areas.
Any kind of forced migration creates a problem. So how about talking about cities that are accommodating a huge number of incomers without the basic services that needs to exist?
The consequences for Iraq could be dire.
All of these are elements that lead to social destabilization. And this country has enough drivers of fragility that we cannot add more to that. If this is not being looked at carefully, that's something that could lead into conflict.
In Iraq, the effects of climate change have become impossible to ignore. Its case offers a stern warning and a glimpse into what the future might hold for the rest of the world should policymakers and the private sector fail to take steps to cut emissions.